Jesus Christ. And I do acknowledge the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. I consider it a privilege to stand before you today. Now, Father, here I am. I admit that I need you. Can't do nothing without the Holy Ghost. Consecrate me now that I may deliver the word, that God, that I heard you speak. But I realize, God, I can't do it without the Holy Ghost. So I say, Holy Ghost, take control. That my speaking, my teaching, my preaching will not be in the wisdom of man, but in the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And I thank you now. God, you know everything. You know what needs to be said. Use me. Hide me way behind the cross. Let your word come forth in the manifestation of your spirit, God. And I thank you now. It's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. When Jerry asked if somebody need a word, I said, yeah, I need a word. Because God has said a lot of words, but I want him to lead, guide, and direct me as I bring forth this message today. And I ask the Holy Ghost to put me in check so that I can be timely. But I want to give you what thus saith the Lord. As Pastor talked to me a couple of weeks ago, I knew that I would be bringing the word today. So the scripture that we have read is very timely. So I submit to you a title today. Are you a witness for the Lord? Mm-hmm. Are you a witness for the Lord? Now, we all know what a witness is. But let me just tell you, God has done something. And he sort of got me in this vein of threes. The last time I preached, I talked about promise, power, and purpose. Like so, I'm going to sort of be in that same vein today with these three P's, but I don't know exactly how the Holy Ghost is going to bring it all together. So I'm going to start out with promise. And we all know what a promise is, right? Mm-hmm. It can be a spoken or written commitment to perform a certain act or to refrain from doing something. And as you heard from the scripture, when Jesus was preparing to leave, he began by comforting his disciples. And he said to them, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide forever. That's John 14:16. He said, I'm not going to leave you like little orphans. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. John 14:18. He told his disciples that, but I guess they were sort of sorry after Jesus had proclaimed that he was coming to restore the kingdom, and now they learned that he's leaving. I bet they was a little bit sad. But Jesus began to tell them, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 15:26. But Jesus began to reassure them. He said, I got to tell you the truth. It's expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And that's a word for us today. John 16:5-7. So Jesus kept his promise. He came to them after the resurrection, prior to his ascension, and he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Two specific encounters, one is recorded in the Gospel of John and the other in Acts, which both relate to the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he has spoken these things unto her. Then that same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut up where the disciples were, because they were fearful and afraid of the Jews. But Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hand and his side. Then were the disciples glad to see the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they received the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now as we move to Acts, we find that they are assembled together with them together. And Jesus comes again, and being assembled together with them, commanded they should not depart Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard of me. For John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Acts 1:45. In keeping with this promise, he told them, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And that day came, the day of Pentecost. It came. But the Bible clearly portrays Christ as the baptizer. As recorded in Matthew 3:11, John said this. We know that he was the forerunner of Christ. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, and he's talking about Jesus, is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire. Now we all know what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were all in one place on one accord. And a sound came from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I can imagine that was a sight to behold. I can imagine that was a sound to hear. But let me just make it clear, because some people teach something a little bit different. But we need to understand that we receive the Holy Ghost when we accept Jesus. We receive his spirit. Jesus makes it very clear, if you have not my spirit, you're not of mine.
Amen.
But God created us all. But in order to have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, we got to accept Jesus as our Savior. But the Bible goes on and tells us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's one thing to receive it. It's another to be filled. If I had a glass of water and it was full, if I poured some more in it, it would run over. But if I empty everything out and put some more water, I could fill it up. So we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
But once we believe the truth of the gospel, and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we receive his spirit. But the Bible tells us after we believe, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So that's our guarantee. That's why I can say, I'm sure my anchor hold and grips that solid rock because I got Jesus. Now without the Holy Spirit, we are a natural being. And the Word of God tells us, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And neither can he know him. Can't know them because what? The things of God are spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? We need the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I may need some power. We need the power. Tell somebody we need the power.
We need the power.
Now I'm going to quote something Pastor David said a few Sundays back. And he quoted another preacher by the name of Jerry Vines. He said, the average Christian is stuck somewhere between Calvary and Pentecost. They've been to Calvary. They've been pardoned. The penalty for the sins have been paid. But they haven't been to Pentecost for power. Are we believers stuck in between Calvary and Pentecost? Are you saved but yet lacking the power? I got some good news for you. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in.
That's right. Come on now.
The potter can fix you up again. All you got to do is come on down to the potter's house and get on that wheel and let him make you over. Let him fill you up. Let him baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to understand, as we study the word power, there are two different Greek words for power. According to Vine's Expository Dictionary, he said one is exousia, which is translated to mean authority. It has to do with conferred power. For instance, when Jesus gives us the authority to use his name, that's conferred power. When we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because he is the Lord, we have the authority to use his name. The other one is dunamis, which has to do with power in the sense of ability. Now, Jesus knew when he was getting ready to depart, he was going on back to the Father. He knew that his followers was not ready to go out into the world in their own strength or in their own power. So Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem and to tarry until they will be endued with power from on high. Jesus had already given them the authority to use his name, but they needed some other kind of power to do what Jesus was leaving them to do. So when he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Holy Ghost, this would empower them the way that they needed to be empowered for doing the work that he was calling him to do. I submit to you today, if the early church needed the power of the Holy Ghost, we certainly do need it today. Would you agree?
Amen.
Now, we don't need the power to just express a manifestation, even though we like to see the manifestation of the Spirit in the demonstration of the power. But I'm going to give you at least three things that the Holy Ghost empowers you to do. Number one, it empowers us to serve. Number two, if we're going to serve, then we become a servant. It empowers us to be a servant. And number three, it empowers us to serve in the kingdom. Remember, God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness and all these other things will be added. So in order to serve, we need wisdom, we need knowledge, and we need understanding. It's amazing how God always linked threes together. Even he himself is a triune God. But Joshua 24:14 gives us a directive to serve. He said, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 1:7 tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Mm-hmm. And Solomon goes on in Proverbs 9:10 and says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. How many know you need knowledge? Mm-hmm. You need wisdom. Yep. But the Bible tells us in all thy getting to what? Get an understanding. Yep. So we need all three. Basically, this verse teaches that the fear of the Lord is the foundation to true wisdom. All other types of learning are worthless if you don't have some wisdom from God. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you got a BS, a MS, or MA, or a PhD. Until you get some revelation knowledge from the Spirit of God, you just got a bunch of intellectual stuff. Mm-hmm. But for in the kingdom of God, you need some spiritual revelation, and nothing can give you that but the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Before we can understand how the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom, we need to define what the Bible means by fear. The fear of the Lord has here is required, not like terror, like we will be afraid of something. Say, like if a slave fears his master. But the fear of the Lord is reverence, it's awe, it's worship, it's the dread of displeasing God, and it's also the humble submission of our soul. That's why we as believers sometimes have a problem with. We don't want to submit, mm-hmm. but we got to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. Notice what Joshua said. He said, fear and serve. Fear and serve. The fear characterizes the spirit of the internal devotion. If you fear the Lord, you're not going to try to displease him. If you're in to serve God, you got to serve him how he says serve him. We cannot rightly serve God with our hand until we devote to him in our heart. Because God looks at the heart, right? The Bible said man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Mm-hmm. In fact, God is the only one that knows our heart. Mm-hmm. When we say, God, know my heart. Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm. We don't even know our own heart. So after the fear, then must follow the servants. But what we find today, there's no fear of the Lord. People are doing in and everything that they're big enough to do. They're taking lives, don't even care about the sanctity of life. They can't give life, but they sure are willing to take it. Every time you look on the news, you see where someone has taken a life. So I said, if we ever needed the Lord, we sure don't need him now. Mm-hmm. But we in ourselves can't do nothing. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, God is not going to be satisfied with us coming to church every Sunday, mm-hmm. saying we love the Lord. Mm-hmm. We sing in the choir. Mm-hmm. We preach the gospel. We usher. We do all those things in service. But God wants us to serve him the way that he says serve him.
That's right.
God is not satisfied with us saying, I love the Lord. Mm-hmm. There ought to be some evidence mm-hmm. if we love the Lord, right?
Amen.
There's always the danger of worshiping with our formality. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Some churches, they got to do it strictly according to the program. Mm-hmm. Won't deviate, don't leave no room for the Holy Ghost yeah. to come in and bless. But my Bible tells me that God will inherit the praises of his people. Mm-hmm. So we need to praise God. Yes. Praise him when we feel like it. Yes. Praise him when we don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. Say, let everything that have breath, what? Right. Praise ye the Lord. Mm-hmm. So the essential characteristic of fear and service and sincerity is that we need to do it God's way. And what does God tell us? In John 4:23, he said he's looking for true worshipers. Those that will worship him in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
Are you a witness for the Lord? Mm-hmm. You need the Holy Spirit to
That's
be a
right.
witness.
Yeah.
Now I need to tell you, it's good for us that, yeah, I'm a witness. We can sing about it. What comes out our mouth is one thing, but our lifestyle will show something else.
That's right.
We sing this song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine everywhere it goes. I'm going to let it shine. So is your light shining in a place of darkness? The question may be, is there anything, I mean anything, holding you back from accepting God's call to serve him? Oh, the Bible is replete in telling us what we should do. But if we never pick it up, we never read, we never study, we won't know what the will of the Lord is.
That's right.
So, we need to serve God according to his will, according to the way he said.
That's right.
And it's very simple. All we got to do is be obedient. So I said the second one, to be a servant. One might ask, what does it mean to be a servant? Jesus gave us the greatest example of being a servant in John 13:3-17. And that's when he gathered his disciples together and he began to wash their feet. He humbled themselves. And then he began to tell them, see what I've done. You're calling me master, but the one that wants to be great in the kingdom has to become a servant. So he lets us know one ought to humble themselves before others. So humility, and as the words say, humble is the way. But sometimes we want to be on that ego trip. We want to be high and mighty in sight of the people. But I'm here to tell you, humble is the way. And then he goes on to say, it is to lose your life. We don't have to be trying to make a life for ourselves. But if we lose our life, we'll get his life. In fact, the word said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus was always pleasing the Father. He humbled himself even to the obedience of death. He also lets us know, in order to be a servant, we can't be proud, puffed up. In fact, he said, I hate a proud look. Pride goes before destruction. So it's the opposite of pride and arrogance or wanting to elevate self. Tell you one thing that Jesus made crystal clear in being a servant. No man can serve, how many masters? Two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other.
Right. That's right.
And we've heard it said, you cannot serve God and mammon. So somewhere, depending on what translation you use, it'll say money. But in my study, I realized that mammon is not necessarily money. Now you need to understand that the Bible was written in Hebrew, Greek and Aramaic in the beginning.
That's right.
So mammon is an Aramaic term for wealth, property, or anything of value.
That's right.
So wealth is probably a better translation than money. Mm-hmm. So then, what can mammon mean? It can refer to the total wealth, including money, property, possession, or anything which people serve instead of God. Mm-hmm. He said, don't have no other gods before me.
That's right.
Do you have any gods today? Think about it. Do I idolize my car? Do I idolize my clothes? Do I idolize my house? Whatever. Mm-hmm. How much money I got in the bank? Those things. Jesus is teaching us here about being a servant to God. Too often, we let our stuff get in the way. And all of us got some stuff, right?
Come on now.
Too often, we let our stuff get in the way of our lives, in the way of our dedication to God. But you know, when we read the Bible, we look for answers to questions that we might have. So, of course, who came to my mind when I was thinking about a servant is Paul. We all know about Paul, right? He wrote all them epistles. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God. He's a great example of being a servant. Now you might say, oh, I can't pick you like Paul. No, I ain't got this. No, but you can tell the love of Jesus that he died to save us all. You don't have to be the greatest singer. You don't have to be the greatest preacher. But you can tell about the love of Jesus. So, we need to serve God the way he says. We can become a servant as we allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us. Because he said he will teach us, lead us, and guide us. And he will teach us all truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Jesus said the Holy Spirit going to testify of me. So, the Holy Spirit will tell us what Jesus wants us to know. We need to be able to provide service in the kingdom. First of all, God said, Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness.
Yep.
But so many times we're seeking everything else. Mm-hmm. Seeking his kingdom ought to be our priority. If we are a believer in Christ, seek the kingdom first. And he tells us when we do that, all these other things, all our other stuff will be added. But when we think about it, if we're going to provide a service in the kingdom, we got to know the king. So in order to be a kingdom, there got to be a king, right? Mm-hmm. And the king will give and do what he wants because the king is the Lord. He's in charge. He controls everything. Mm-hmm. So we need to understand if we're going to serve in the kingdom, we need to submit to the king. Jesus is the King of Kings.
That's right.
Or the Bible says he's Lord of Lords. But Jesus said, why do you call me Lord when you don't do the things I say?
That's right.
I don't need him just calling me Lord right. when you don't mean it. So if you love me, you're going to obey me.
Yeah, come on then.
Right. In fact, the word said, trust in the service, trust and obey. There's no other way. So only through the Spirit can we have power to complete his purpose. Whatever God has for our lives, all of us has a purpose in life. Some of us discover ours early in life and some discover late, but there is a purpose for your life. Even so, providing service in the kingdom, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, which he's a guide. We need to ask him to bless us and make us fruitful in what? All good works.
That's right.
As the Spirit of God will have me understand, our service is useless, no good, fruitless without the empowering of the Spirit.
That's right.
The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. God is long-suffering with us.
That's right.
When I was out there doing everything that I thought I wanted to do, he was long-suffering towards me until I came into the knowledge of the truth. Gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, we start out with a lot of zeal for God, but we fall by the wayside. Mm-hmm. We don't continue to be faithful sometimes. He goes on to tell us meekness, Oh, I had a little problem with that year I went to. I had a little problem with temperance too. Pastor used to tell me constantly, don't react, but act. I needed some self-control. I may need some self-control. The Holy Ghost will fix you up now. And if you truly got the Holy Ghost, you're gonna see the evidence of the fruit in your life. You'll see it and somebody else will see it. So, Pastor, just maybe the question is, what are the reasons people try to serve God without the Spirit empowering? They think they can sing it out. They think they can pray it out. Yeah. They even think they can preach it out.
Yeah, that's right.
There even may be some imitation. Yeah. Acting like a misfit. Uh-huh. Acting like they got the Spirit.
Yeah. That's all right. Come on now.
And it's not there. Mm-hmm. But when the Holy Ghost is there, you will know it. Because the Spirit's going to bear witness with your spirit. Yeah. So I say to you, as I'm about to close, if you're stuck between Calvary and Pentecost, I'm telling you now, get up, mm-hmm. stand up,
right.
and move up.
Right.
See, you got to understand, salvation is just the beginning of our walk with the Lord. Mm-hmm. We understand that salvation, through salvation, and Paul made it very clear. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. for it is the power of God to salvation. See, we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. We got the Holy Ghost so we can be delivered from the bondage of sin. But we're waiting for Jesus to come back to take us home mm-hmm. so that we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Mm-hmm. But I understand in between time and on this Christian journey, we need the Holy Ghost. So mm-hmm. we need to be empowered
That's
so
right.
we know what to do and what not to do. See, we got to understand if God promises something, He going to keep his promise. Mm-hmm. And he promised the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost manifested itself in a great way. Mm-hmm. When the apostles got ready to go out. When Peter went out to preach. Mm-hmm. And he preached under the power of the Holy Ghost. And 3,000 were saved that day. Mm-hmm. Many of us have been saved. We have received the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. But we have not been baptized mm-hmm. by the Holy Ghost. Yes, Jesus right. is the baptizer. Mm-hmm. Do you need the power today? Mm-hmm. I declare to you, you can have it. You can have the power of the Holy Ghost. The Word of God said, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall have power and you shall be my witness. Are you a witness for the Lord? You got to understand that Jesus makes it very clear in the Word of God. There's something I need to tell you. If you don't know, I must tell you so that you know. When you start to go through things, you be wondering where God is. Mm-hmm. But God say in our word, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, mm-hmm. to them that are called according to his purpose. Yeah. Now that you know that, you're held accountable for what you do know. Mm-hmm. See, somebody asked the question, am I responsible for that? I don't know. Mm-hmm. When a little child come and start asking the question, they don't really know. But when we know and learn these things, then we are held accountable
right.
to God. Somebody said, what you don't know will hurt you. That's a lie.
That's
what you
right.
don't know will hurt you. So you need to know the Word. You need to search the Scripture. You need to ask the Holy Ghost to lead, guide, and direct you. Because guess what? The Holy Ghost knows everything. It says the Spirit of God, what? Search the deep things of God. If we are natural minded, we cannot understand spiritual things. We need the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
We need the Spirit of God indwelling in us. And it's only then and when that we can do what God requires. Mm-hmm. He wants us to serve him in the newness of life, not in the oldness of the letter.
That's right.
You need the power today. You can have the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Oh, yes, you can.
That's
you can
right.
be like the day of Pentecost. Then it won't be said by Jerry Vines, we stuck between Calvary and Pentecost. We can have that experience. I declare to you today, if you need it, God's got it. And you can have it for the asking. When Peter asked him that day, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we have not even heard about the Holy Ghost. Well, you heard about the Holy Ghost today. And we need the Holy Ghost. Because when the Holy Ghost come upon us, now the Spirit of God is in us. But when that power come upon us, you can't do nothing with it but submit and surrender. Do you need the Holy Ghost today? Do you need to be filled with the Spirit? That's a command from God. He said, be filled with the Spirit of God. And you can be filled today. We thank God because He has not left us like He did as orphan. But He sent the Comforter. And He said, when the Comforter comes, He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you. He's going to convict of sin. We need the Holy Ghost. We need that power that the early church had. We see miracles every day, but sometimes we want a great manifestation. But I'm here to tell you that God is still working miracles. He's still demonstrating His power. Will you be a vessel that the power of God can flow in? We need that power. We need that Holy Ghost power. Somebody say, I got it. I got the Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You can have that power today. You need that power today. As we look at the TV and as we study stuff, we see all kinds of things going on in the world. And you begin to ask yourself, well, where is God? God said, what are you doing? I told you, these signs shall follow them that believe.
That's right.
If ain't no signs following the church, there's a problem.
That's right.
Because He told us these signs. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You shall cast out devils in my name. But we see our absence of power. But sometimes we're looking for something big and exuberant. God wants to use us. He wants to use us in the kingdom.
Yeah.
He has sent His Holy Ghost to empower us so that we could be serving Him. And not only that, He goes on to let us know what kind of servant we can be. We can't serve Him and the devil. That just won't work. We can't serve God on Sunday and the rest of the week act like the devil. God is calling us.
Well,
God is calling us to do what the Word of God. Will you serve Him today like the Bible says serve Him? Would you be that servant that's willing to go irregardless of what it costs? I say sometimes for preachers it may be seem difficult, but when God calls you, He equips you. And if we're going to serve, He'll give us what we need. He know what qualification we need. It's not in the educational system, but it's the Holy Ghost. I often say I went to a theology school, and they had some people not filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, I'm in the wrong place. Because
right.
I don't see no evidence of the Holy Ghost. I don't see no power being exhibited. But we need the power of the Holy Ghost. You need to be empowered to serve. You need to be empowered to be a servant of the Most High God. You need to be empowered to provide the service that God wants us to provide in the kingdom. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. And you can have it. God wants us equipped to work in the kingdom. The kingdom of light and not the kingdom of darkness. He don't want us hoarding around after the world. In fact, He said, be ye transformed. Don't be conformed to this world. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, sometime you'll start drifting away from the things of God. But that Holy Ghost is that keeping power. You can be kept if you want to be kept by the power of the Holy Ghost.